I can tell that's a Parker son singing. The Bryce Lawrence family was a singing family. I appreciated the message. It's very practical, very needful. I needed to hear it. I wish I could have been here last night, but my designated driver couldn't come, so I had to wait till today, this morning. And he was gracious enough to let me ride with him. Brother Heisel, precious brother, deacon of the church at Lexington. And I'm looking forward to hearing our pastor, Brother Ben. That's now my pastor. You know, you never get too old to learn. I don't care what your age may be. I appreciated the message this afternoon. I thought of the scripture when he was speaking about the oxen. In Proverbs it says, where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. But by strength of the oxen, there's much increase. When we pray for our oxen, don't muzzle their mouth, but do everything you can to support them with your prayers, first of all, and with your presence, gifts that God has given you to take care of their physical or financial needs. I think we as Primitive Baptists have come short on that, and I'm guilty of not exhorting our dear brothers to give those things that would benefit the church and benefit the Primitive Baptists around the country. You're not preaching for money. If I was preaching for money, I'd have stayed with the other order that I was with. They were almost guaranteed me a salary of some kind. Maybe I wouldn't have lasted long. But nevertheless, I told one brother, I said, if they gave me, they were worried about a preacher getting an increase in their particular church. And he said, you think they should give him an increase? And he said, by all means. He said, give him whatever he asked for. He said, I wouldn't preach what he's preaching for twice that amount. Well, if it's not the truth, certainly we wouldn't want it. But in keeping with what our brother has brought to our attention about sowing and reaping and plowing, it does say in Ecclesiastes, cast thy bread upon the waters, and it will reach. Thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what it shall be upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, we all know what that describes or lets us know that's going to be rain when they're full, and they empty themselves upon the earth. The tree falls to the north and toward the south. In the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. I don't think farmers would go out on a real windy day. I know in our country, in the Dakotas, they didn't. But he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If it's going to rain, you're not going to go out and try to reap the crop on a stormy day. Or thou knowest what is the way of the Spirit. But it goes on, here's what I want to get in the morning. Sow thy seed, in the evening withhold it not, thine hand. For thou knowest not whether they prosper shall be this or that, or whatever thou shall both shall be alike good. There's a text in Isaiah that has been upon my mind since just the other day, and I thought I haven't talked along this line a long time. I'm not preaching actively at a church anymore, so I'm still learning. I just thought, well, after so many years, I've been trying to preach for the old Baptist for almost 60 years, and for another order for over 6 years, it looks like he'd learn how. But every occasion is different, and you need the help of the Lord no matter how old you are. I was walking with a cane, and the fellow came to me and said, why are you using the cane? I told him, because I wasn't able. I said, if I was able, I wouldn't be using the cane. But you know, you got to answer sometimes as best you can. But I'm thankful to be here today. I look forward. I heard about the meeting a few years ago, Indiana Fellowship meeting. I was always happy to come to Indiana years ago when Brother Sarver was a faithful minister up there and near Tippecanoe, and I got a lot of good memories, and I'm thankful for you all continuing here. And I have a precious elder that's serving you, Brother Nathan. I've known you since you came into this world. I guess you were born in Lexington, weren't you? Or were you born in Indiana? Well, you had Indiana roots anyway. But I'm thankful that God has raised this young man up and is your under-shepherd here. When we lay our preacher brethren like Brother Paul Jones to rest just a few days ago, I thought about him, and he certainly was a preacher of the gospel. I used his name, Paul, and just thought we had that much in common. And I said, Brother Paul was a preacher of the gospel. He preached the glorious gospel. And he had an attitude of gratitude. Every time I'd see him, he'd have something in the scriptures. I saw him back in October. That was the last time I saw him on earth. We had a wonderful time of fellowship together. We held hands, and I said, we probably won't see you again in this earth. And so the Lord called him. And he went from his home in Baltimore, Ohio, to his home in heaven. He didn't have to stop off at a nursing home. And so he was blessed in that way. And I thought about it. He had an attitude of gratitude. And you and his name stood for me. He was a faithful under-shepherd. Under-shepherd. We need some good under-shepherds, don't we?
Amen.
We've got a great upper-shepherd. But he's able to give us some good under-shepherds that can feed the flock of God, as you have here. And this precious brother Adam over there at, is it still Edwardsville? Is that still on the map over there in Missouri? It's a wonderful group of people that I recall there. But anyway, here's a scripture that came to me. You're all familiar with it in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm sure you read it many, many times and thought about it. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. This is the word that Isaiah is recording by divine inspiration. It's often referred to the book of Isaiah as a little Bible, 66 chapters, like there's 66 books in the Bible. And it starts out rather on a very low note in this Isaiah chapter 1. And he comes to this portion here. If you begin to read, it was a vision of Isaiah. The vision wasn't very good. It was sort of a dark, dismal condition that Israel, and Judah particularly, was in, and Jerusalem, in the days of the three or four kings that Isaiah lived through. It says here of Uzziah, the longest reigning king in Judah, as far as we know, about 52 years, Jotham and Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Hezekiah indeed was a good king. He had problems like every one of the other kings did, but here's a note from Isaiah by divine inspiration. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. It's a sad picture when you bring up children and they turn against the authority of parents. We see in our country today the effects of discipline and instruction and encouragement to train up our children in the way of the Lord. In the way of the Lord. When they're old, they're not depart from it. As you said, Brother Stump always said, it's different in training children and raising children. You raise hogs and dogs, but you train children. And today, I'm afraid we get it reversed. I've got a dog at home, and we love the little thing. And every time people see it, they say, oh, that's a lovely dog. And I said, yeah, wait till you're with it a while. But I always ask the question, he said, you know why a dog has so many friends? And they said, no. They say they wag their tail instead of their tongue. You can get in serious problem. And I always tell people, I said, don't put too much confidence in any creature. As a matter of fact, one lady said, I've got three dogs and I love every one of them. And I live for them. And I said, just be careful. I said, they're little creatures God made, and they show a lot of unconditional love. Even when you discipline them, they're right there lapping at you, ready to be corrected again. And I said, just be careful that you don't spell dog backwards.
That's right.
And I'm afraid that's what we do. We made God little G-O-Ds out of so many things, earthly speaking. And we get in trouble when we do that. Israel had that problem. They had a problem with idolatry over and over again. Those were two of the four of the things that were mentioned in the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Murmuring, idolatry, fornication, and tempting. All of those things, that's common to man. The brother was mentioning the depravity of our human nature when we're born again. That doesn't dissipate. It isn't gone. It's right there. As a matter of fact, that's where you have a cross. You have a vertical from heaven. You're born from above. The horizontal is this way. And that's where your cross comes in. And I think the rich young ruler had a cross. You know why? The Lord told him to take up his cross, didn't he? Take up his cross and follow me. And sell all you have, and you'll have treasure in heaven. But you know, the result was he a child of God? I read in Mark's gospel where he looked upon that young rich ruler, and he looked on him and he said he loved him.
Right.
Didn't he? Was he a child of God? If he ever loved someone, I really believe he still loves him.
Amen.
But he certainly doesn't appreciate many times when he's instructed there to do. He was trusting in his riches. You know, how do you know that? Because the Lord answered the disciples, said, well, he said, how then hardly shall they that enter into the kingdom of heaven? He's not talking about eternal heaven. He's talking about this gospel heaven right here. This kingdom of God right here. He said, how shall they enter in? He said, how hardly shall they that not have riches, says trust in it. The sin is not riches, it's trusting in it.
Amen.
And anything that we trust in above our Lord is wrong.
That's right.
And it'll take us, lead us astray. And we'll do just like that. I will choke out the good word that you've heard preached in this good meeting thus far. I hope we haven't added any cold water to it, because I know you had some good meeting last night. And we had a good visit on the way today. Brother Heisel had some copies of some old preachers. Primitive Baptistry, I thought they were old back then. Now I'm older than they are. But anyway, we heard, I know Brother Piles. We heard him and Elder Sonny Piles, and then we heard Brother Cecil Doherty. And you know, I just got to hearing him again, and I said, Lord, we need some more of that preaching.
Yeah.
And then I heard Randy Metzinger from Denver, Colorado, powerful preacher. And I thank God for those ministers of the gospel that were faithful. At least two of those are in the glory world, and the one still active in the state of Texas. But my friend, whatever it is, here's what I want to get to. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Here's some animals that we heard about today. You can't plow the two together, but there's lessons to learn from these animals. The ox knew its owner, who it belonged to. And the ass knew where its crib, where its corn came from, where its food came from. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And then he goes on to describe this nation of Israel. And what applied back there can apply to the day, even spiritual Israel today, that we have gotten so carnal and so mixed up with the things of this world, and I'm guilty of anybody else, that we let the things that we hear on the television and all of that's going on in our nation today that brings so much confusion and turmoil, that you don't know which one to decide to enter into. A lady told me one time back before the election, I think I told you that, Brother Ronnie Lauterbaker down there, he says, would you like a bumper sticker for your car? And said, what does it say? In Trump we trust. I said, no, thank you. I said, just keep the bumper sticker. I'll trust in God and pray for Trump. And if the other one won, I'd pray twice as hard. Or whatever it may be. I tell you, folks, we need all the help we can get from above. Don't trust in Trump. Don't trust in the legislator of the land. Trust in the God of heaven and earth, who can raise up kings and can put them down and can teach us so many. And the only one that's going to make United States or America great is God Almighty. He's the only one, and he can bring them down. And I pray that God will help them. I've read the scripture, quoted it many a time, what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, first of all, he mentions first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men. And he said, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. When he goes on and says, who shall have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth? Did you know that God desires all of his children to come to the knowledge of the truth? He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing. Did you hear that? Not willing that any of God's children should perish. He's not talking about the world out here, the wicked. He's talking about his people right here. That we don't perish here in time. May God help us to that end. Let me see. The whole head heart should be stricken anymore. You revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the heart is faint. And he goes on to describe from the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there was bruises and wounds and putrefying sores and all of the descriptions given here. Israel of old was God's appointed and chosen nation to represent the truth. I don't think they represented all of God's elect because it was the smallest nation, the smallest country, but he chose them because he loved them. And then he wanted to reveal to them the oracles of God and give them the principle to stand in a world that was full of idolatry. And God called that first man out of Mesopotamia, which was full of idolatry. And he called him to worship the true and living God. And we call him the God of Abraham, don't we? And the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob to this day. And so to this afternoon, as he writes this church here, listen to what he says. Come now. Let us reason together. Though this was the condition of Israel was in a dismal state, a dark state, horrible state, just as the world seems to be getting darker and darker, yet in the midst of it, our Lord is encouraging His people, Israel as a nation, representing the church of the living God today. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be what? As scarlet, they shall be as red as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If I had anything upon my mind this afternoon, it's this little verse. If you're willing and you're obedient, you can eat the good of the land. Amen. You know what the other side is? It's right following it. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword. This thus saith the word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 1. If you're willing, you say, that's a conditional statement. Yes, every time you find the little word, two-letter word, if, it involves something that's necessary for God's people. If my people, doesn't he say that in one place, will call upon my name and will pray. As our brother exhorted us, oh, how you need to pray for your pastor, young or old. I need your prayers. I tell you one thing, lately, since I've been trying to take care of my wife who fell and broke her pelvis bone and back in January, 5 months ago, and in the hospital and in the nursing home or the rehab center. And I've asked people, I said, then all the prayers, I said, I appreciate all the prayers for my precious companion of 58 years. And I said, but I'll tell you one thing, not only pray for my wife, but pray for her caregiver. And someone said, who's that? I said, it's me. We need the prayers too. The one that gives care to the people because they're under a heavy load too. And I'm thankful for a people that'll show that and show the love as our church at Lexington has done for my wife and myself in the past few months and yea, over the years of time that I've been blessed to be among them. If you're willing and obedient, you say, what do you mean? God's children, how is it that we become willing? If you're willing and obedient, there's another scripture in Psalms 110. I can't quote it, but I can get one expression in it. That thy people, in the day of thy power, thy people in the day of thy power shall be willing. Here it says, if you're willing, but there it says, they shall be willing. Is there a contradiction here? No, there's a sense in which when God works in us, He works in us both to will and to do that of His own good pleasure. But the instruction is that we're brethren, we're to work out our own salvation. Not to work for it, but work it out. And that's what that brother was telling about working out your garden. You don't have a garden, you can't work it out. If you don't have a field to work in, and so we have fields of labor. And you've got a field here, Brother Nathan. And it looks like you're having a good job. And as soon as you can get your bathroom on the same level as here, the other, it might help a little bit. Especially those that need to have crutches and wheelchairs. That's for nothing, brother. Are you willing and obedient? You know our soldiers that go out to the battlefield. They volunteer many times. And they go, and we know that we have a volunteer army. It's not a drafting army. And so they have to be motivated, and reason to go out there. I remember hearing the experience of one who had been to Vietnam, both of his legs blown off. I can still see him as he spoke to our group as a bunch of insurance people one time. And he gave me his card afterward. I appreciated what he said. He had stepped on a mine over there in the jungles of Vietnam. And he had to... Are you having to leave, Brother Ronnie?
Yes, sir. Got to get on the airplane.
Well, I don't blame you for going now, but... God be with you. Give you... It's hard to catch a plane after it leaves the ground, so you better go on. But Lord bless you. But anyway, he said he was about ready to give up. Life was meaningless. No legs. The upper part of his body was not injured. But he started working out. He was almost going to end his life. He said life is miserable, nothing to live for. But he started strengthening his upper body. And he began to work in that way. And one day he determined to walk across the United States from Los Angeles all the way to Washington, D.C. on his arms. He'd built up strength and he walked all the way across. Yes. And there were those who were watching him as he traveled there. He couldn't even go into restaurants sometimes. Why? Because he didn't have any shoes on. Think about it. I met him personally. And he gave me his card. It said on there, Luke 1:37. You know what it says, Brother Nathan? For with God all things are possible. That was the word the angel gave to Mary, wasn't it? He said, how can this thing be? Seeing that I know not a man, but with God all things are possible. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and that holy thing which is formed in you shall be called the Son of God. And you know, that inspired me so much. And you know what he said? He had, I don't know how many operations, but he told me this. He said, in this world of give and take, there are few that are willing to give what it takes. Yeah. Just a simple statement. In this world of give and take, there are few that are willing to give what it takes. When you got members of a Primitive Baptist church that are willing to do, I'm like an old deacon down in Collinsville, Tennessee. He stood up and they said, we're going to have a work day at the church on Saturday. And he says, I know you're all willing to help out. And he said, you know, the church over the years, he was over, had been a deacon over 50 years, Brother Pyle's father-in-law. And he said, I found out that half the members are willing to do the job and the other half are willing to let them do the job. They're all willing though, aren't they? But you see, there's a difference. If you're willing and what? Obedient. There's an obedience that goes along with it. That's an instruction to a child of God. Did you know that?
Right.
Yes, it is. If my people, in John chapter 1, and 1 John rather, it says, if we confess our sins, who's he talking about? His people, aren't they?
Right.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this afternoon, are we willing, as it were, to serve no matter what the circumstances of life may be? Are we willing to come as Isaiah pleaded out? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There's so much unreasonableness in this world. Paul the Apostle even prayed on one occasion. He said to the church, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and that we might be delivered from unreasonable. Didn't he say that? Men, for all men have not faith. The gospel is not for those that don't have faith. It's for those who are blessed to have the faith to be able to believe the glorious gospel. We don't know who that is, so we preach it indiscriminately, rich or poor, colored or whatever their background may be. And we preach the glorious gospel. It's God that does the work on the inside. And if he doesn't do the work on the inside, the preaching of the gospel will always be foolishness to them. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. But unto them which are saved, it's the power of God and the... It's the power of God and the brother
unto salvation.
My age is beginning to show up this afternoon here. Come now, let us reason together. That's what I was trying to think of. Over in Exodus 35th chapter, real quickly. Let me give you a few thoughts along that line. I'll try to bring my remarks to a close. Brother Ben needs to come up here and preach and try to cover up where I failed. But I'm glad that we have young men like Brother Nathan, Brother Ben, and Brother Adams, and these others. May God raise up every Wednesday night at church, our pastor says, pray that God will send forth laborers into the vineyard of our Lord. We as Primitive Baptists need to do a lot of praying for our young ministers and for men of God. God can take an old man and cause him to preach or bless him to preach, but he can also bless young men that are coming up, and may it please the Lord to do that. Listen to what it says over here in Exodus chapter 35, when they were about ready to build the tabernacle that God had given Moses. He says here to Moses, spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, the offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And of course it goes on to describe all the things that were necessary to bring about the building of that tabernacle according to the pattern which God had showed Moses in the mount. And how the Lord wonderfully blessed the people to give them a willing heart, a willing mind, and a desire to assist in the necessary requirements that were to build the tabernacle as God had laid it out to Moses. And make sure it's built after the pattern that was given to Moses in the mount. Over in 1 Chronicles, many years later, before the tabernacle was now going to be set aside and the temple was going to be built, not by David, but by Solomon his son. Listen to what David said here as he puts sort of his last message and prayer for the Israelite nation, or the land that was already united. There was no division at that time as David came on the scene. He says here, then the chief of the fathers in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and the princes and the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands of hundreds and rulers of kings work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. It goes on to describe all of that. I know this was material things here, but listen to this. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Right. If my people, if you be willing and obedient, you know what? God will bless the land. God will provide. The church will grow. And we as old Baptists need to make disciples of God's children. God makes children. We need to make disciples of them.
Amen.
And that's teaching them. If you know, if any time you read it, when it comes to the service of God, as I mentioned, the rich young ruler, he says, if any man hear my voice and will follow me, he says, I will. And then it goes on to say, if any man be my disciple. He repeated that quite frequently. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That's not dead sinners. That's children of God.
Yeah.
To follow the Lord in obedience to his command in baptism and then growing in grace. As our brother said, you don't grow grace, you grow in grace, because grace is already in you. And you let the light shine that God has already shined in your heart in that way. And put it on a candlestick. That's what the Primitive Baptist Church is for. It's a candlestick.
Right.
And we're not to hide it under a bushel, but put it in the place where other people can see it. And they can glorify who? Not you, but your Father which is in heaven. Letting you know that the Father which has given you the gospel kingdom is pleased with what you're doing as you're following him by faith and trusting in him to serve him. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. If you read on a little bit further, it says, who am I, he says, what am I, what people shall be able to be do so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Anything you give in the cause of Christ, you know who gave it first? God gave it to you.
Amen.
The ability to work, your mind, and all of that. Oh, I know you gotta develop it. You gotta grow and mature and study and all of those things. But you know, in all of that, just remember it's God that blesses you and gives you what you have. What have you today, this afternoon as Primitive Baptist, that we did not receive?
Right.
Who makes you to differ? What have you that we haven't received? And if you received it, why do you glory as though you didn't receive it?
Right.
We're recipients, aren't we?
Yes, amen.
John's Gospel said he came unto his own, and what happened? He didn't get a very good reception, did he? His own received him not. But the next verse says, but to them that received him... But to them that received him, what did he do? He gave them power or the rights to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And brother and sister, here's the will that really operates in the inside first before you're willing on the outside. And to produce that will. You know what it is? Most of our Arminian friends will stop and put a period there, but there's a colon there, and it says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but how are they born? Of God. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do that of His own good pleasure. I wish I could preach this afternoon, but God bless you anyway for coming together and listening.
Amen.
And I wish you well, and pray for me and my family and our little church down at Lexington, which I'm a part of. Bless Brother Ben. Come ahead, Brother Ben.
Amen, Brother Ben.